Greetings, trainers, and welcome to another edition of Pokemon Monday. This is Tyler Nagata, and presenting your host, the one with the most Pokemons in her PC box, Miss Carolyn Goodmunson.
Hello!
Hello, Carolyn.
Hi, Tyler.
And also joining us today as very special guest from PC Gamer, we have Eric.
Hi, guys. It's exciting to be on Pokemon Mondays. I've been listening for like 3 weeks now, so yeah, it's an honor, really.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you here today.
Oh, thanks, Tyler.
Yeah. Eric, can you tell us a little bit about your Pokemon background?
Well, I've practically been a lifelong pursuit Pokemon. No, I remember distinctly reading a preview of Pokemon Red and Blue in Nintendo Power. This would be fifth grade. I'm a youngin'.
Uh-huh.
Just being blown away at how excited I was to be adventuring around, catching these monsters and fighting them against each other. It just sounded super cool. I'm an old school JRPG fan, and so to see this coming directly from Nintendo was amazing. And it always has been since then, really.
I couldn't have said it better.
Yes,
so true.
Very amazing. Very amazing.
I must say, like, the peak of my I still love Pokemon. I still adore it. There was a point where I was a competitive Pokemon card player.
Ooh.
Yeah. Loved me the Pokemon cards.
So does that mean you went to, like, tournaments and whatnot?
Like, local, like, Toys R Us tournaments. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, it was a blast. Right me and on. My friends still have probably, like, 4,000 Pokemon cards sitting in massive boxes in our basement.
Wow. I really want to get into the card game.
It's not difficult. I've been out of it for so long now. They keep releasing expansions, but
yeah. I'm so curious about it. You know that our art director, Cheryl Del Rosario, was also huge into the Pokemon cards.
Oh, was she really?
Yeah, and so was Michael Grimm. Totally into it.
I didn't know that.
We should have an office tournament.
We should. I really
want to start
get back
a card
into
club.
It. We should.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm curious about how many listeners play the card game. Maybe you guys could comment. Because
comment.
I want to get into it, but I'm afraid. Is it a huge monetary investment?
Not these days. It used to be that they were huge and really exciting. And these days you can go into card shops and find boosters for a reasonable amount. Or even better, people selling their collections on eBay, their old collections.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, what's the most valuable Pokemon card? Is it still the Charizard?
It's the first edition holographic
Charizard.
It's super rare.
But isn't that like, Charizard. How much would that go for?
Geez, I don't know these days. There was a point when it was going for $400.
Dang.
Wow.
You know, Mike Grimm has one sitting in his desk in a binder.
Ooh,
over
wow.
There.
Is it in mint condition?
He was like, yeah, maybe I could give I shouldn't say this on the actual air, but he's like, yeah, maybe I could give these away on
I don't know.
Wow, I just made my mic.
This
like,
was just
totally
a sick. Hypothesis.
Yeah.
This is no
yeah,
way an official
No, this
announcement.
Didn't actually happen. Yeah.
Although that'd be a fun surprise for him to come back to absence of his Pokemon collection.
Yeah, and just like a $20 bill just laying there.
Or we gave away your stuff as a prize, Mike. Welcome
back. let's get in. Should we get into the big news of the
week? There was a lot of exciting
day?
Pokemon news this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. I had a feeling that there was going to be like reveals this weekend.
Yeah,
and they all came
to roll
out.
In,
they
yeah.
are they yeah, they're trickling in, but I think this one was a pretty big one because it was all the Korokoro scans started leaking over the weekend.
So we are looking at what now? Korokoro scans via PokeBeach?
Via PokeBeach, yes. Right. I want to thank PokeBeach again. This morning, this is kind of a non-related Pokemon note, but this morning was just the absolute craziest morning. GamesRadar is going through a major transformation. Like, Kakuna?
It's evolving.
Evolving? Yes. Or,
so soon
or
you're going to have a Beedrill? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I don't know, I'm trying to
And maybe did the tech
be.
Team push a button to cancel evolution momentarily?
They did.
So by the time you're listening to Pokemon Monday on Games Radar, you might be noticing some visual changes.
Yeah.
And if not, sometime soon.
Right. So yeah, it was totally crazy this morning, and I came in over the weekend, and this morning I was just like so frazzled, and then, oh my gosh, so...
But now you can relax, because we're talking about Pokemon, and it's exciting.
Yes, Pokemon. But yeah, so thank you, PokeBeach, for quickly updating us on what happened over the weekend. without Poke Beach, I would be, it would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
but yeah, so should we get into, let's briefly talk about the new Pokemon that were revealed. First off is, and this is kind of topical, because weren't we talking last week about how there's so many generic bird Pokemon, but there's no, like, hawk? There's no, like, crazy raptor Pokemon?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And I think we also recently posted a feature about animals that the Pokemon universe did not tackle yet.
But it looks like we have a fearsome raptor in Wargle, the War Eagle Pokemon. Technically the Valor Pokemon, apparently.
A Valor Pokemon. A normal flying Pokemon.
Man, though.
It looks like they're going for that bald eagle, like, strong, fierce look, you know?
Mm. Yeah. I'm just so tired of, like, so many normal flying. I don't know.
Like, so do you feel like Wargle is a little too plain Jane?
Yeah. But then he does have a new move. It says a new attack called Free Fall.
Which could be interesting because it's you're not only removing yourself from the battle for a turn, but you pick up an enemy, remove him from the battle for a turn.
He kind of reminds me of a Native American T-Hawk. Like Eagle Hawk. So I like the idea of him having a throw-like move, you know, where he
that's a good comparison.
Picks you up and does Zangief-like damage to you.
So it's kind of like Fly, but he takes Pokemon with him?
That's the way it sounds, yeah.
Huh.
That might be kind of interesting in tournament play, because that would take one of your opponent's characters out of play while he's up in the air.
I wonder if they'd lose their turn.
Maybe. Maybe.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure what they could do, you know, 200 feet in the air.
Yeah.
So many mysteries.
But yeah, so there he is. And isn't it kind of, what do you guys, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something, but isn't it weird that there's no straight flying types? Like, there's never been a straight flying type? They're always, like, normal flying or flying something else?
I never really thought about that.
You know, they do land at some point. Hmm. Maybe, like, if they had a straight flying Pokemon, it would just, like, always fly.
Always be flying.
He'd always be off screen.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess that's a good point.
A good point. I never even thought of that. They are all, like, normal flying or flying something else. Yeah. Interesting.
And then let's see what other... Oh, yeah, we finally got to see the... what's his name? The Koromori.
Koromori.
Yeah. The puffball with the bat wings.
Oh, we
finally get to see him from the front, because like he had been revealed like 2 weeks ago, but we had only seen him from his back sprite in the battle, like from that Ohasuta gameplay. We finally see him from the front. He's kind of cute. He looks like a cyclops with like one tooth.
His eye is like a heart almost.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So he is a very cute Pokemon.
Yeah, I like him. I wonder if he's gonna have an evolution.
I like how even though he's sort of looks like a scary ghost type Pokemon, he still does have that.
He's so cute.
Look
yeah. Oh, eye. I forget what his type. What they said his type was. I should have written it down. I think it's like.
I think it's flying psychic.
Yeah, that sounds right.
If I'm remembering correctly. So it could lead to some interesting combinations.
Yeah. But yeah, I like his look so far. And then speaking of evolutions, we also see Muna's evolution of... it's on the third page printed out. What's his name? Musharna. Yeah, he looks really cute, but he looks kind of like an elephant or something, like a sleeping elephant.
Yeah, I almost thought anteater.
Yeah,
you know, with that long nose.
Yeah, very true. Yeah,
he's all cuddled up in the fetal position, getting ready to.
Storing
up his energy to battle later.
Apparently, he has something that's kind of integral to the new games, which is something called Dream Smoke. I don't think we even know whether that's like an ability or a move or what yet. But like it has something to do with the global link.
So it's something to do with the new ability to upload your game save to the internet.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Maybe he only evolves if you upload him to the internet.
That's
so
a good
sort
point.
Of like sort of like Graveler. Only evolves if you trade him.
Right.
So maybe it's something like that. I don't know.
That's true. Maybe he has to go on the internet to evolve. I was thinking some weird, like, abstract thing where, like, the thing that you play online is actually, like, a dream world.
Oh,
or something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. That could be pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And then, oh, what do you guys think about this weird chipmunk-looking dude?
Which one is that?
Minazumi?
Minazumi?
He's like right below Koromori. Like,
he's got a real tough guy look because of his furrowed brow.
He looks intense.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's sort of like that Chip and Dale determination. He's kind of cute, but you know he's going to get stuff done.
Yeah.
And it almost looks like his tail... Is that fire? No, it probably isn't.
I don't know.
He's got some pretty crazy looking eyes. Like, you think he's got some psychic powers going on behind there?
He very well could be. Yeah. It looks like he's holding his hand to his head, so he could have some sort of psychic chipmunk on.
Right.
Ooh, coming to Pokemon. Psychic chipmunk would be awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I have to see more of these Pokemon before I get really excited, because like I feel like just another chipmunk, and then we saw a chinchilla. It's like so much like every other generation.
What'd you think about this other one, Gochiruzeru, the black purple Pokemon that looks like a woman?
We talked about that one like a couple weeks ago, and remember I said that she looked like a gothic Lolita, and like what does everyone think about that? The one with like all the bows in the front?
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, she is like her name is like gothic
Gochiku.
Yeah.
Gochiku.
I don't know. How do you guys feel about humanoid, human-shaped Pokemon?
I don't know. It's always kind of weirded me out.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Mime, Jinx, never been my favorite kinds of Pokemon.
Mike Grimm is a huge Mr. Mime fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Don't say anything about Mr. Mime.
I won't. Don't worry.
He tries his best.
Yeah.
The skinny arms. But yeah, but aside from the new Pokemon, there was a bunch of other stuff revealed too. Like, there was some details, I guess, in that same article about the new 3-on-3 battles, like that the placement of your Pokemon is going to affect the battle.
More tactics.
Strategy.
Yeah.
Strategy.
I feel like, I don't know, I'm probably the only one that played this, but Fossil Fighters did that. I wonder if anyone else played Fossil Fighters. Like, the whole strategy was, like, about where you place your little dinos on the battle grid or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just hope it doesn't take too much away from, like...
The core RPG.
Yeah. Surely it can't.
I would think not. I mean, Pokemon is a very tradition-driven franchise.
Yeah. Right. I don't think they're going to shake it up too much.
Yeah.
Well, I just wonder, like, maybe it's something as simple as, like, you know, attacks that affect the whole field now, or that affect both, like, in a double battle, affect, like, both your opponent's Pokemon. Like, for example, Razor Leaf will hit both your opponent's Pokemon.
Right.
What if maybe you just have to choose, like, these two or the, like... I'm making hand gestures. Sorry, like the two on the left, or like the two on the right, because like there's a lot of moves that would become like intensely strong, like Earthquake or Surf or whatever. Like if it hit everyone in battle, maybe you have to kind of direct it now.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe like, what do you think they might have like front row, back row type stuff where if you do a regular fight move, then maybe you can only attack the guy that your opponent placed in front.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, that sounds likely to me, but then it doesn't seem that way from the screens, because like all the screens we've seen, they're all lined up. And then what about this passing by feature that your DS will connect with other players that are nearby and you can like help them or something?
Well, I mean, the DS has done this before in Nintendogs. I don't know if you remember, there's what's called bark mode. So we know the DS has the capability, like you just close it with Pokemon on.
Right.
And if you walk by anyone else, maybe you'll get like an item from them or some sort of gift. So
the new DQ does that too.
Oh yeah, Dragon Quest IX? So it's certainly not unprecedented, but it's really cool, I think, that they're bringing it to Pokemon.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can set up, like, what reward you'd give out to other players if they have their DS in passing by mode, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, when DQ did it, I'm like, what are the chances of me running into someone who...
Yeah, it's much more of a Japanese-centric feature, right?
Yeah,
because they're all on, like... trains, and it's a much more crowded place as opposed to America.
But I see people playing Pokemon in the wild the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's good. I hope it's... Yeah. Even if it's items, it would just be cool. But then the Pokewalker kind of already does that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it'll do something more. Like, I'm thinking, like, oh, are you battling the Elite Four? Let me jump in and see you kind of thing. Like, that would be really cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
And then maybe we wouldn't need to always try to be struggling to connect our Pokewalkers. We just do it automatically
yeah.
as
oh
we
gosh,
pass each other
Pokewalker?
On the way to
with their
get more coffee.
With their fantastic IR.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have linked Pokewalkers today. I don't think I've ever bumped Pokewalkers with you.
I don't think we have.
Yeah.
No. Shoot. I didn't bring mine in today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, me
tomorrow,
neither.
Tomorrow.
It's a rare day.
Guys.
For me. No, I know. I didn't bring my Pokewalkers.
You should bring your Pokewalkers in. Mine is low on batteries. Like.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. Like, the screen keeps flickering. So I'm like, oh, I think it's a battery. But I need to replace that. So, yeah, it seems like there's actually a lot of, like, Wi-Fi and internet stuff that was kind of announced in this article. Because they also talk about what that Hi-Link is. Do you remember when we saw, like, that screenshot of, like, the main character walking across a bridge and it said Hi-Link on it?
Oh.
That was, like, a couple weeks ago. But apparently it's something where you can, like, take on missions and help players who are in trouble.
Interesting.
I wonder what that means.
Yeah, it's almost like they're bringing quests to Pokemon.
Yeah. That would be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. No, I think that could really bring a more exciting, like, if you're tired of just kind of the grind, like, take on some quests. Rescue Hiker from the cave who's being attacked by Zubats or something.
They could be, like, group quests, like,
oh,
WoW that are a little too hard for a normal
you link
player.
Up with your friends.
And, well, like, you know, every game has that, like, escort mission where you go through the cave and someone walks with you and then gives you an egg or whatever, you know? Like, what if you could, like, team up with your friend and do doubles battles through, like, a particularly tough cave? Oh, yeah, that's right.
With better loot.
Yes. Very true. And we heal each other.
Yeah.
Magically. But yeah, we saw, like, in that map of Ishu, last week it was, I think, there's that huge mountain off to the left with, like, where you could see, like, clearly the entrance to the cave and the exit to the cave, and it's like, wow, that looks like a huge mountain. I wonder if, like, the caves are going to be even bigger and you can, like, team up with a friend. That would be so cool.
And only one of you needs Flash?
Yeah, exactly. Or Defog. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Oh.
Why do I climb the mountain?
Yeah. But yeah, that would be
looks
cool.
Pretty epic,
yeah, that's a good point. You could coordinate your HMs so that you wouldn't have to have, like...
You wouldn't have to have so many Pokemons with useless moves.
Yeah. Totally.
What about the Black City and the White Forest?
That's exciting.
Really exciting.
I mean, this is probably the biggest difference between the two versions that we've seen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just from the sound of it.
I wonder if that had anything to do with that town that was split in half that we saw on the map. That was like, there was this town. I don't know. Did you see that map of Ishu?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I absolutely did, yeah.
Yeah, there's this town where like half of it was white and half of it was like another color. It's like a bluish color.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool.
But yeah, I wonder how different it will be.
Well, it's interesting that, like, there's a white forest for Pokemon White and a black city. It's like, because a forest sounds like a zone where you'd be encountering Pokemon and stuff,
right.
Like
that's
Viridian
true.
Forest.
Uh-huh.
But a city, I mean, when do you encounter, like, anything but Team Rocket and shops in a city?
Mm.
So
that's very true.
It's interesting that they're making the zone so different.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, maybe the title of the zone isn't necessarily descriptive of what we'll actually
True.
See in the zone. Maybe they'll both be, like, forest area or outdoor area
yeah,
type Pokemon
very true.
Zones.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll both have, like, city-type elements to it. I don't know.
Either way, it's exciting to know, like, start to know these differences. Yeah. Like, they're actually going to be physical differences between the games.
Yeah, that's very exciting. It's especially exciting for me since I will be purchasing both versions.
So have you decided or are you committed to...
Yeah, I'm pre-ordering, importing. I think I'm going to import White or maybe... I'm trying to decide which version is going to be more popular in Japan because I want to get... I always want the less popular version because then my version exclusives are more valuable. So... I think, because I can't decide, like, I think that Reshiram is going to be the more popular legendary in Japan.
Okay.
So I kind of think I should get Black.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense to me, I mean.
Right?
Hmm.
Tough decisions. But yeah, so I think I'm going to import black and then buy white when it comes out here. I can't wait. That's like 2 months away. Do you guys realize that?
That's weird.
I know. It's bizarre. You guys are going to be so jealous. You should totally import it too.
Well, when is it, has there a release date even been announced for North America?
Like spring 2010, I think. I think it's going to be like April.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
Yeah. But, I'm super excited.
We live in a global economy, you know?
I know. Well, and the problem too is that like I never import because Japanese DS games are freaking expensive. Do you guys know how much they cost?
No.
It's like, a typical is 5,000 yen. So like a little bit over $50.
Jeez.
Yeah. Plus shipping and stuff. It's going to cost me like, I think probably around $70 to import black, which is...
Plus, don't they typically have a different pricing structure in Japan where the more popular games they tend to sell for a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I want to say that...
Whereas here, like, everything is generally the same, so just the retail price. Like, if you're buying a game, and you're paying X amount.
I'm not sure. I know, like, all the Japanese DS games I've purchased, even, like, the really crappy low-level ones. Uh-huh. Like, I bought the Rakuma games, which actually are really fun. But, it's, like, 5,000 yen, But I think Pokemon Black and White might be 5,900.
Wow.
I'm not sure. But, yeah, so it's a big investment. And then if you don't speak the language that well, it's kind of, like, a pain to get through everything.
Sure.
Especially, like, for me, like, even if I understand it, I don't have memorized what the attack names all equate to. So that every time, like, I have to look up the attack
names. How's the kanji in that game? Is it something that a beginner Japanese student?
There's none. Which is actually...
It's all romaji.
Yeah. No, it's all kana.
Or kana.
But,
right.
That actually makes it harder in some ways, though, because reading it, you have to sound everything out.
Oh,
whereas,
right.
Like, when it's kanji, you can just look and you know what the word is just looking at it. But, like, for me, at least, since I'm not a native speaker, I have to, like, if it's all in, like, hiragana, I have to, like, sound out the hiragana. I can't just, like, look at the word and know what it is. Uh-huh. So, it's...
But at least you don't have to dive into a kanji dictionary to
look
things up by stroke order or radical to figure out that they're just talking about it being sunny outside or
don't you hate
something
that?
Really simple like that. Yeah. It's just a simple word or a concept that's got this ultra complex character to
Oh my gosh, but yeah, so it won't be too bad. I hope people import it so that we can play together. But
fun stuff.
But yeah, there's a couple more details too in this article.
Totally.
I know there's so many, like, wow. But the thing is, like, they're talking about so many things, but like, there's no like actual concrete details about anything. Like, what's this TV transceiver thing?
Well, it's not for the old DS or DS Lite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it says chat. Yeah, it says you can have video chat.
Okay, that seems so weird to me. Like, I know that Gen 4 had voice chat, but it just seems so anti-Nintendo to allow video chat.
That's very unlike them. Yeah.
Hey, kid, you want to see my Pokemons?
Well, I mean, I guess that's why they make the friend code so difficult.
You'd have to have the friend code.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
But already I have trouble linking with my friends with those stupid friend codes. But yeah, so yeah, apparently there's video chat, which is cool, I guess. But then it's always like kind of awkward making conversation when you're trading Pokemon with somebody, even if it's like your friend and you're just like, hi, okay, bye, like when you got your Pokemon, like, I don't know, I'm always really awkward.
It's always business when we trade together, at least when you and I have traded together.
Yeah.
We'll have a comment on the NPC character model that was chosen for each of us, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
We've already decided what we want to evolve.
I wonder if they're going to let you choose what you look like in Pokemon Black and White.
I was wondering that, too. Yeah, because we saw that in that video where, like, he was walking and, like, his avatar changed the character. That would be cool if you could choose. But then I like seeing, like, when you go into the union room, oh, I'm the old lady today. Yeah. Like,
I like being the old man with the beard and the hat.
Yeah.
The hiker guy,
That's my favorite NPC model.
Totally.
Classic.
And then one more semi-small thing. I guess there's a new move called Magic Room that negates the effects of all held items in battle.
Wow.
I know. It's pretty... Well, you know what? This, too, it's. I think it's going to be huge because of that rumor that there's hold items that will affect the weather conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that could be big.
Yeah. But I think what's going to happen is that what Rancrusu can learn that attack. Which one is that? Oh, the green, the cell, the one that looks like a little blobby.
Yeah, it's like a blob jello thing.
With like a little duck inside or something. Man, Pokemon loves ducks. But yeah, I have a feeling that what that's going to... Because like that seems like such a powerful move, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, like, that Pokemon's going to be, like, really crappy other than that move. So, like, it's going to have to be a huge trade-off, right? His stats are going to be, like, out of control weak. So, like, if you want him in your party,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a huge trade-off.
Sounds like a lot of the new things they're adding have major implications for competitive play.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's going to be as big as the physical special split of Gen 4. That was intense. But there's definitely stuff going on.
That rocked the rosters.
Yeah. Yeah, it elevated many Pokemon to greatness and then left others by the wayside. But I wonder, cuz I mean that is really going to depend upon if that all that stuff about the weather is true. And other things. Like that guy that leaked all the... I think it was the same guy that leaked that Minotaurus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Said that you could even set up, like, a poison field where if you have some kind of hold item, it puts some kind of, like, miasma in the field that increases the effectiveness of, like, poison type. So it's not just weather. It's, like, every... Like, he said there's going to be, like, 20 different hold items that do that.
Ooh. Kind of reminds me of Magic the Gathering.
Almost.
Yeah.
I know nothing about that.
Well, I mean, just the idea that there will be all these items and moves that make items or make moves of a certain type more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you can affect the lightning,
affect
the weather, make it rain, make your water type move stronger.
Yeah, and I think it really does now that I know a lot of people were unsure about the 3-on-3 battles, but I think... thinking about how it looks like the battles are shaping up, that it's like 3-on-3 makes sense because you don't want to waste, you know, half your team or whatever.
Right.
Very interesting. I think we're kind of running running out of time, but I think, Tyler, you have something important to talk about.
Well, I thought that today's featured Pokemon of the day would be Meowth. I love Meowth. Yeah. This is just me personally. He's so greedy looking. I don't know if it makes a difference, but when I load Meowth into my Pokewalker, I like to take him on that suburban road because he seems more like a city cat.
Yeah, he does.
And I don't know, like, if his pickup ability, like, increases his chances of finding something on the road in my Pokewalker, but I like to think that it would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because he's a city smart cat, you know. He's got street smarts, you know, and he's on the lookout.
So you like him even though, like, canonically Team Rocket, you know, has a Meowth.
Well, that's another thing. I love the characterization of Meowth and Team Rocket in the
animated
series. And I did not know this, but this was pointed out to me by Henry Gilbert. He told me a little bit about how the animated series addressed why Meowth is able to talk.
Oh, this is a sweet story.
He fell in love, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, tell the story.
I have it right here. This is going to be straight from the synopsis from Bulbapedia. And this is about Meowth. When he was younger, Meowth lived in the streets in Hollywood after he came there in search of fame and fortune. He was a member of a gang of street Meowth led by a Persian, which I think is hilarious.
That's adorable.
And they would steal food and cause trouble. And then one day, Meowth came across a female named Meowzy, who he became quite smitten with. I guess she rejected Meowth. And she preferred the company of her rich human mistress. And that's what inspired Meowth. Meowth wanted to become more human-like, so he would catch her eye. And so he painstakingly, I love this, taught himself to speak human language in a New York accent and to walk upright like a human.
That's adorable.
And, of course, he was again rejected, and thus... I guess heartbroken, Meowth remembered the first human word he learned to speak, which was Rocket. And that's how he came to join Team Rocket.
How about that?
And I just thought that was a fun background story for Meowth.
Is he still the only non-psychic Pokemon that can talk in the series?
I am not sure, since I don't really closely follow the series. But
he's the only one I can think of, certainly.
Yeah.
I love Meowth.
What were some of the psychic ones you were thinking of?
Most recent Pokemon thing I've watched was the Darkrai movie. Darkrai can talk.
Yeah, Mewtwo.
Mewtwo can talk. Yeah,
right.
Oh, man, that movie made me cry for sure.
But are they physically speaking, or are they psychically projecting their thoughts?
I suppose they're psychically projecting.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah.
I love Meowth's lisp in the anime series.
He's so cute. Meowth also has a couple of other cool. The coolest thing about Meowth in the games for me is that he's the only Pokemon. He and Persian are the only Pokemon that can learn Payday through level up.
That's a very
good move to cushion your wallet with the extra coins, and it does damage. So if you have like a super high level Persian or Meowth, you can do damage and collect a ton of coins. So
pickup is great too.
Yeah, pickup is a great ability as well. I love the little surprises of what.
Yeah.
After battle.
And I don't believe you need to have him in the battle for pickup to take
effect.
No, you
don't. Yeah. I think if he's in your party, any Pokemon in your party with the pickup move, there's a 10% chance, I think, that they'll pick up an item after the battle.
That. Yeah.
And also, that's another thing that Meowth has over Persian, which is Persian loses. If your Meowth has pickup ability, Persian will lose it when he evolves.
I was really sad when I discovered that.
Technician is the only possible ability for Persian. Yeah, and then one other thing about Meowth for me personally is in the first Pokemon pinball game, the one for Game Boy Color, the Meowth minigame where you collect the coins was like my favorite part of that game. Like the way when he hit the coins, or when you hit the coins and it made that little ching like noise. So satisfying.
Meowth also had some great parts in Pokemon Snap, where you had to you had to throw pester balls at him and annoy him enough to come out.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, Pokemon Snap. I really think that they should do an updated version.
Oh, they so should. Yeah. I loved that game.
Totally.
Meowth is the man.
Yeah. So yeah, good suggestion, Tyler.
Thank you very much.
So should we wrap it up?
I think so.
I think we went over time today on the busiest day of the Game Trader.
There was a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for listening.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.